Call the meeting to order. I don't remember, I apologize. Do you do a roll call or do I just say who's here? I'll just sort of say who's here. So present are Chair Mike Baden.
Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am.
Vice Chair Bartels. Legislator Green.
Present.
Former Legislator. Petite, I apologize. I'm not sure what to how to classify
Laura
you.
Laura is fine.
Okay. Comptroller Gallagher, Deputy County Executive Laval, and Chair Giorsic. Am I saying it right?
Yeah.
I want to make sure.
That's fine.
Okay. We also have present the Legislative Council and. Legislator Roberts is
That's
present.
Minority Leader Roberts.
Sorry about that. My apologies. Minority Leader Roberts. So we'll call the meeting to order. First, I would ask for a motion to approve the minutes of December 20th.
I'll move
them. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, were there any discussion of any changes, any corrections, or anything? They look very well done. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. I'm going to just go slightly out of order here on the agenda because council is here, and I just wanted to give him the opportunity if he needed to say anything. I just wanted to address that. There were some emails sent out, and the clerk of the legislature had offered back opinion that discussion had to take place in this meeting. So I don't know as council
discussion
oh, yeah. has to take place in this meeting and
as
shouldn't take place as opposed to emails.
I mean,
it was policy discussion.
Yeah. So. Under open meetings law, that was what was suggested.
I'll look into it, but I'm not familiar with that.
Okay.
I mean,
what is the issue?
Whether policy discussions can take place.
Well, just whether we could be discussing things via email back and forth to each other. Yeah. I mean,
it happens all the time.
Yeah, under open government, I wasn't sure. And anyway, so I just wanted to sort of bring that up because.
Well, first of all, obviously, yeah. There can't be any resolutions or anything like that. There can't be any votes, any agreements or anything. I mean, if you are drilling down toward a solution to something, then I would back away.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty clear.
Yeah. So just wanted to clarify that you know, we will be scheduling two meetings a month, and if we feel that we need to schedule additional, we can. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I would respectfully suggest that we really look into that because my understanding has always been that you cannot have discussion via group email of a whole committee and back and forth because you're having committee discussion without the public
right.
present. That's always been my understanding, and I recall, which I could look at too, I recall reading multiple advisory opinions and mm-hmm. speaking to the previous director on the committee on open government, and then a later, that being Bob Freeman, so that was a while ago, but then a later person as well, because it came up over multiple times in my tenure in the legislature where certain committees would have back and forth discussion
right.
and it was
yeah.
raised. I realize it's it kind of goes against probably conventional wisdom because it's a regular way that we communicate these days. But maybe that advisory opinion's changed over. But that's the last that I was apprised of, directly speaking with.
I would agree that is the policy that my town board follows on advisement of our attorney that we don't discuss anything. We send out information of here is information for you to look
100%.
At. But not replies back. So, Legislator Green?
Yeah.
And the discussion is the whole committee?
Yes,
yes
so yeah. I can reply all back
okay.
forth,
yeah.
back forth, back
yeah.
forth.
Legislator Green?
Yeah, it's my understanding that since the last meeting, information was shared and There was some discussion about procedure, but not about policy. And I don't know how other people, I don't want to waste time on this, but.
No, I know. I just wanted to address it and bring it up so we're all working on the same page. So.
Does anybody know of policy that we were discussing? Because I don't think we violated anything.
Well, I'm not saying we violate. I'm just saying my opinion is we shouldn't be having discussion by email in general, back and forth. If we're sharing the agenda, if we're sharing information of here's the information for the next meeting, it's been my understanding that that's okay. But to then reply back and discuss topics, whether it's procedure, policy, any discussion, it just, I, you know, so.
It's very tempting to reply all. I try. I didn't. I wanted to. I think it was sharing of information. I don't think we violated anything. And I think one of the things we might want to consider doing is filtering everything through the legislative clerk that's acting as secretary, just so that there is a one place. So if somebody later, 6 or 8 months from now, wants to see what the heck was this committee doing, there's one repository and it all goes through right. And... but I don't think anything was violated.
Yeah.
And
no.
will that be you, Michael? Or has that been determined?
That has not been determined at this time.
Okay.
Oh, it's not continuing as Jay? She just informed me that for this meeting you would be here.
It's mostly going to be Jay, but if you guys have Friday meetings, sometimes that's...
Understood.
Which will come up on your schedule.
Regardless of whatever you decide under the meetings law, if such a discussion did take place, or actually anything that takes place, is foilable.
Understood.
So,
understood.
You know, the two things. First of all, the public would have access to it, and if you thought you were engaging some discussion that you were shielded from that, that's not true at all.
Okay, and I would agree. We can move on. I just wanted to before we got into the other stuff. So, regarding the discussion we had last meeting about diversion, I've incorporated the notes of what we talked about into. The flowchart, I've added the column for financial that we had talked about, with some to be determined below that. The other packet that's in your hands is the we talked about the who, what, where, and then what I would like to do is, what my hope is that we will spend, essentially we have four topics, we'll spend two meetings, 1 month on each topic. So two meetings on diversion, two meetings on disposal, two meetings on the intergovernmental regulations, two meetings on financial, which will take us 4 months of the 6 months. And then we incorporate all those ideas into the last 2 months working on our final report back to the legislature recommendations. That was sort of where my mindset was. So we spent in January, we spent one meeting starting into diversion with answering the questions, and then I think Amanda, the SWOT, the strengths, weaknesses, is once we identify all these things, we then pull that all together to look at the whole topic as the strengths, weaknesses, if that seems to make sense. Certainly wasn't forgetting that in the flow chart, just wanted to kind of get everything on the paper since not all of us are as knowledgeable of everything. So we'll have to continue with diversion. We did identify a lot of what's, the who. I think we were all in general agreement that under the current system that is the UCRA's purview, certainly there's other stakeholders involved. So with that, let me just hear what everybody else thinks in terms of where we head to next on diversion.
Yes. Yeah, I want to challenge the who and say I think the towns need to be in there. They have a critical role for diversion, and I think major waste producers have to be in there. Major producers, waste producers. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we want to divert food waste, we've got to have those food waste producers. So I think, you know, while UCRA, while the agency might have a primary role in spearheading it has to have other, we have to have the other parties.
Yep. And to follow up, I think if we're looking at stakeholders, I mean, municipalities, I think present the most quality solid waste and recycling. But, you know, we're also talking about, I don't know if we have any large manufacturers and institutions, but anyone that would be within the annual waste audit that the agency does, I think they would be stakeholders that we would want to discuss what maybe some of their visions or issues or recommendations would be for handling solid waste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I had not included originally under diversion the towns and municipalities, and I would agree that we should add them in there. The private haulers are already in there. The institutions are already in there. And I think the agriculture is an aspect that isn't always thought about, but they create a fair amount of waste as well. And, like, I know several farmers in my town who, you know, they'll plant with the black plastic around the plants for weed control.
Yeah.
And then when they take that up, how do they get rid of it? And, you know, the local transfer stations can't take it. We have to send them to either New Paltz or Kingston to get rid of it. And sometimes they're surprised about it. So, you know, I think that it's a smaller part, but it is a major, in our county, we haven't a lot of agriculture. So, anybody else have any thoughts on additional who's? Or then we can move into the what's. I mean, we identified certain types of things, items that we want to sort of focus on diversion and just see if there's additional that we should be adding to that.
Can I just ask for clarification? So, and it maybe goes back to Comptroller Gallagher's point. So right now on diversion, we only have UCRRA?
That's what we had said at the last meeting, if I remember correctly.
I think we were talking about primary responsibility,
yeah,
maybe, and it got it got filtered into this, but it really,
yeah,
it can't be just stuff.
I mean, if you look at the matrix document, I've tried to include the stakeholders at the bottom of each column. So currently I had private haulers. These are the UCRA users, you know, the haulers, the residents, the businesses, the institutions, the agricultural. And we should include the municipalities. I was thinking the residents were the municipalities, but I think they're
separate, I think.
I would agree.
Because I think,
yeah,
some residents go directly to the agency, and
right,
then I think we want to think, like, if they're going through the municipality, it's the municipality that's,
yeah,
the user.
Yeah.
And in terms of that, the UCRRA users, do we know,
yeah,
this is probably a question for Chair Giorsi, are agricultural users coming directly to the agency, not through? Do you have ag users coming to the agency?
Well,
waste?
You're not talking about the half a ton limit that the DEC just put on January 1st food waste diversion.
No, I'm literally talking like who's bringing something to the tipping room floor. We know private haulers, residents are,
right,
like, directly.
Yeah.
Businesses, I assume, directly.
You're talking about farmers, basically.
I'm saying,
yeah,
are farmers coming directly to the agency?
I tell you honest truth, living down in China, I'm not sure who comes there right now.
Okay, so that, I mean,
they can't use the town transfer stations under the DEC, mm-hmm, hauling regulations because of the materials that they're bringing. And this is what I've heard from several farmers who used to come to the transfer stations, that back 3 or 4 years ago when the DEC changed the hauling regulation, or the state, but the DEC is in charge with enforcement of it, changed the hauling regulations that the farmers no longer can utilize because they're considered commercial waste, just like a business can't use the transfer stations, only residential can. So they now have to go directly to the UCRA.
Maybe, I mean, and I realize I'm jumping a little, but maybe also to just define, because this matrix is relevant to everything we're talking about,
mm-hmm,
maybe we could, through the chair and or however is best, get the agency to actually provide us with information. Because,
okay,
so because we have flow control, everyone's using the agency. But if we're breaking out who's actually using the agency,
right,
If I am a resident, but if I have a private hauler, it's my private hauler that's using the agency,
right.
not
right.
me.
Understood.
So I think we should be really specific, you know, and is the ag sector of Ulster County going directly to the agency? Are there institutions going directly to the agency, or are they going through private haulers? Because I think it's important we get these things right, and we probably need input from the agency directly.
Fair enough. No, I would agree with that. And you know, ultimately, why I've put them here under diversion is if we're looking to divert waste, my thoughts are we have to get to the people that are where it's originating from and involve them in the diversion, because if it doesn't start with the beginning user, then it gets watered down as throughout the system.
But they're not specifically under diversion. They're under everything, right? Right now, the Matrix has them under diversion disposal. Like, we have the top level these things, and then the stakeholders apply to everything, correct?
Well, yes, but the way I've sort of organized the stakeholders, they do apply to everything, but I've tried to organize the stakeholders under the category where they're the most involved. So, like under disposal, you've got the recyclers, the solid waste haulers, the landfill. So
I guess if I can just, because that's, I guess
absolutely.
That helps me to under this
right.
matrix. So
right.
I assume that the line, that the top are these important subject matters, and the bottom, the stakeholders, apply to all, because diversion, the vendors are also diverting.
Yes.
I mean, the vendors are recyclers are also diverting, and you know. So I'm confused. Are you saying that the vendors only apply to disposal, and the agencies apply to intergovernmental?
No, that's not what. So originally it was set up with all, but we were trying. I thought we were trying with the initial discussion was to identify which category they more fit under, or mostly fit under.
Okay.
It is all, the stakeholders are all, let me just, Mana Jo had her hand up first, so.
If we're focused on diversion, typically that's residential, commercial, institutional, and municipal. And there are many other stakeholders, vendors are stakeholders, ag is a stakeholder, but the sectors are typically those three, and ag would fall under commercial, et cetera. I have a bigger concern, and I'm going to raise it, and that is you put this together, and so the dynamic right now is that you're justifying it. And as chair, I request that you listen for suggestions to be incorporated. And I hope we can refocus on diversion.
So that's the agenda item. But I put this together based on our initial meeting when we all went around the room and we talked about what the topics were. And this is how I put this together. I presented it last meeting and looked for feedback on it. And it's a working document that we're going to work through. I agree, somebody had to put it together, but it's based on what we talked about at the first meeting. And it will be that's why I put the as of date. It's going to be a constantly changing document.
So I really like the issue that that Tracy raised, because I also see these users as applying to every single category, and I think we're getting very stuck in sort of what connects with what, and since everything's interconnected, it's going to be hard to tease out. I don't want to see one stakeholder relegated to having their concerns heard or brought to the table for just one of these sectors. So for example, you know, commercial or ag as a part of commercial is going to have to be at the table for every one of these, as is municipal and residential. I almost feel like, no offense to the chair, this structure almost hurts me in seeing it that way, and I kind of really appreciate this thing that you made, that this summary,
mm-hmm.
better, and I think that we should focus on this and not that other chart.
Right.
Because otherwise we fall into that hole. And I also want to say, We spent some of our time in the last meeting talking about diversion, but we did not spend the whole meeting. And now we're also talking about, like, how we're going to work through the problem. And I have a bunch of other questions about how we're going to work through getting our report written that is not about diversion. So, and diversion is something that the legislature has really prioritized that has fallen through the gaps. So I would just like to request that we don't strictly limit our diversion discussion just to two meetings, that we expand it as long as it needs to go. And I know I'm willing to come to this table extra days of the month if necessary. Yeah.
And just to respond back to that's fine. It was just an organizational, and that this was just an organizational to keep it transparent and to keep the whole conversation on the table.
Yes.
And it's, in my opinion, is, or my mindset, it's a combination of, and certainly that was a very loose saying, 1 month for each topic, just saying we have four topics, we have 6 months, and at some point we have to write the, it's my mathematical brain of going, dividing 4 months by four topics, it's a month per topic. If we go 6 weeks on one and 2 weeks on the other, or 3 weeks on the other, it's whatever it is. And we just need to make sure that we leave ourselves enough time. And I certainly agree that the end result of the report, I sort of feel like we all agreed that these are the four topics we need to talk about, and then the report kind of writes itself in that the discussion of each meeting on each topic leads to a chapter or a section of the report. And then,
could we talk about diversion now?
I'd like to, but everybody else seems to want. I wanted to just make sure that we were all in the same process, because I felt like there was questions about where we were headed. Yes.
If I could, I'd like to actually back it up even a little bit more, because I feel like we're already diving into a portion of the report. Mm. And you had mentioned earlier how we're structuring that report. I mean, are we going to have, I mean, this is part of a methodology, but I would like to see some sort of framework set up, so then we can each dive into each portion. There'll be financial, and there'll be significant waste diversion. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we are looking at putting this into a contract for 2025. I mean, that's essentially the goal. So, I mean, diversion is going to go into the contract. We want to tell the agency we expect you to be diverting 40% or 50%.
Right.
But there's also other information that we'll need to be looking at.
Agreed. And that's what I had hoped to pull all that into. You know, I just thought we need to keep it sort of topic-based, so we weren't all over the map with our discussions, and a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit there, and as items come out,
I feel like we're there now.
That's what I feel like we're at right now, because which is why I was trying to spend the beginning of the meeting to get the organizational of how we're going to operate, so we're all on the same page, but there's different opinions of how we should operate, so that's what I'm trying to get us to agree of how we're going to operate. So, do we want to move into diversion? Where do we want to? Yeah, I'm sorry, Tracy. Apologies.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I do think there's an aspect to which we're going to have to remain topic focused, and I agree with the comptroller. They're probably thinking of this as background, but not the first page, but not as defining. Helps my brain too.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like the concept of dividing into sections, and said that my understanding of the creation of this commission was about getting everybody to the table together, not getting us to the table to go off and write a portion of a report. It was about bringing the ideas together.
Right.
And a la my earlier suggestion about really bringing the RRA to the table, the chair's here, but whoever the chair thinks are the people or person to come and provide the information on specific questions, the same I think is going to hold true for all the different stakeholders, like the like the supervisors. I mean, you're here as their main representative, mm-hmm. but I feel like we as a committee are going to have to hear from these different groups and get feedback provided. So I just want to, and I also just want to flag that the contract is a major part of our charge.
Agreed.
But it's not the only part of our charge. And in fact, it was brought up even in the context of potentially there not being a contract. So we actually have to get to the point
right.
where we're making recommendations on a contract if that's what we want to do. But I don't think we begin with the presumption that our charge is to say what we want in the contract solely. I think, so how we get there, I don't know, but I just felt it was important to highlight this.
So I agree with everything you just said, that our charge is not just the contract. And you know, several people suggested to me we should just go through the contract. And I think the overarching topic of waste in Ulster County is what our...
Yes.
You know, it's called the UCRA Reform Committee because that's the system we use right now, but I feel like our job is to look at waste and how do we do it differently, better, whichever word you want to add in there. But and I thought, based on our initial conversation, that we had agreed that these were the four topics. I'm not saying the report is going to be classified under these four topics, but I feel like if we just bounce around from topic to topic, we're not going to... I'm mindful of we have 6 months to do a report.
And I'm going to suggest again that we start talking about diversion.
I'm trying to manage that, but I'm trying to get the rest of the committee to agree to where we're supposed to go with this.
Can that be an agenda item?
It is the agenda item on the agenda.
Continue discussion of diversion. I know it's on the agenda, but I thought we were talking about diversion first.
Does the board want to just talk about diversion? I'm trying to hear what everybody's saying. I'm being accused of not hearing, and I'm trying to hear everybody. I'm extremely frustrated right now. I'm trying to move this through at a process that we have 6 months to do, which, as we set it up, two meetings a month.
I think we should talk about diversion now, and I think your frustration really is normal because this topic is so broad
right.
and it has so many players, and I think the best way for us to figure out how we're going to organize ourselves in a way is to dive into the material, because we can sit here and talk about how we want to structure a report, but we don't really know what we're going to put in it yet. And I
agreed.
Think
it's here. We're looking at their enabling legislation, operations policies, and contractual agreement. The only thing I'm concerned about is if we dive too much into one subject, which we've done with the solid waste improvement plan and the zero waste plan, is we seem to keep initiating studies. And I mean, this is a report, but I'm just concerned about diving too deep into a study. Part of our policy is we want maximum waste diversion. So we can certainly look at the existing policies of the agency and then create our own policy as part of the intergovernmental relations. But if we keep doing studies, I don't think we're going to get this report
we're not
done in
policy.
6 months.
We're not going to create a policy or do
not
studies.
Creating one, but it, our I mean, isn't that our policy?
When you say
our charge, you mean our charge.
I think it's going to be easier to have this conversation if we talk about diversion. What is diversion? And then come back and talk about the document.
Okay.
And that was what my initial agenda, then we got requests that we include these other items after I put the agenda out. So I was trying to honor the requests. So let's talk about diversion.
Mr. Chair, can I say one thing before I leave? My parking meter is getting there. I think that, you know, you guys, diversion is a great topic to start with. I wish you all well, because I've been involved in these committees before, and they are painstakingly long. I agree with the former chair down there that we don't know what the resource recovery is going to look like after we get done with this. Whether it's going to be still the resource recovery or county agency, if there's a will to do that, I suggest that my end game would be to see it disbanded as it stands today. It's not working. So So any thoughts on diversion also has to have a thought on who's going to be doing the diverting, if that's your end game.
Understood.
So thank you all and good luck.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Minority Leader Roberts. I'll make sure to say it that way. My apologies. Okay, so back to diversion. We have the UCRA. We have added in the towns and the major producers, the Watts. We have food waste, electronics, yard waste.
Wait, let's go slowly with the what's.
Okay.
Because we've talked over and over about the who, and we haven't really talked about the what.
Well, although we did last meeting, because I wrote all these down. We discussed all these last month, and that's why I'm putting these in.
Since we're now on this page, can we just confirm who the who's are?
Absolutely.
Since we have a difference.
Absolutely.
I'm just asking if we could just confirm who the who's are. It should be quick, but since we're on this page versus that previous document.
Yeah.
So we have, I
think you're going to find other who's after you talk about what.
That's, yes, I agree. But Legislator Green used the terms earlier, residential, commercial, institutional, municipal. I think those are good terms to use. And then you also have the UCRRA. So UCRRA and adding, is that acceptable to everybody? Those,
so residential, municipal,
and
commercial slash institutional. Yep.
Which would include ag, which would include everything.
Yes.
And then, as Legislator Green just said, as we move along, if we identify more, we'll add more to the who. But for right now, I believe that's a good starting point.
It's good buckets. It'll capture almost everybody.
That's fine. So, can we move on into the what's?
Yeah.
Okay. So, these were the items that we came up with on the list last meeting. They certainly don't comprise all that we have talked about diverting, but... yes.
If I can also make some suggestions on this.
Yes.
For the what, in terms of diversion, regulated recyclables, which would remove, which cardboard would be out of, no longer. Organic waste, which would cover food waste and yard waste, just a different way of describing it. Electronics, I think, is fine. Household hazardous waste, I think, needs to be added.
Okay.
And composting is part of organic waste. So now we're looking at regulated recyclables, organic waste, electronics, household hazardous waste. Now we get into the nitty gritty where we're looking at.
Should we include the plastic bags as a separate item? Because
I think not as a separate item, because it's regulated by
plastic bags.
They're not regulated.
They're not, but it's a plastic.
They're regular. Yeah. They're not really regulated.
They're regulated from
really
the source.
Regulated.
Some of them, individually, plastic bags are regulated from the source, basically.
Yeah, that's the thing, is from the county's perspective, they're regulated, but they're not regulated in that the end users or the businesses are the ones that are recycling them. So what I would like to bring into the discussion is...
It would be thin film plastic then, not plastic bags.
Okay.
But regulated recyclables are defined under the law and overseen by the Recycling Oversight Committee. And basically, they're bottles and cans and paper products. And in addition, a separate law made for composting. But the reason that it's important, the point that Tracy is bringing up, is that the agency already is collecting the regulated recyclables. The towns are collecting it, sending it to the agency to market it. The haulers are doing whatever they're doing with it. But it's clear what those materials are. There are many, many other materials in the waste stream, including ag plastic, which is what I was saying, is as far as I know, not regulated.
Correct.
And certainly not one of what would be considered regulated recyclables. But I do think that's an important category.
Agreed.
I just, some things are related by, regulated by state, like the bottle bill, the nickel deposit, but they're regulated, but there's no, then when you get to the different levels, there's no real oversight. So the question in my mind is, how do we get more people to, and it, that may mean that the county needs to lobby the state to get the you know, deposit on the iced teas and the sports drinks and the non-carbonated things to get those out of the waste stream, because a lot of people choose to just throw them away because they don't, yes, they can be recycled, but they don't have to be, and there's a fair amount of people who don't.
But respectfully, they have to be in Ulster County. If you take your 5 cent deposit, or your not your your, let's call it your not 5 cent deposit, your iced tea, your Gatorade, and you throw it in the garbage, you are violating Ulster County's recycling law and subject to 3 days in jail. So
right.
There you go.
But
like, it's not
it's an
being
enforcement
enforced,
question.
But
right.
it actually is strictly regulated. That regulated recyclables are strictly regulated.
Okay.
To Manna's point, things like thin film plastic are not strictly regulated, and we do need to, I agree that we need to include them in this. As we, just going on, as we do, I think, need to include scrap metal.
Textiles.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then we would
want
to.
Waste oil and tires.
I just want to say that there are two documents out there that already do this, and we're just popcorning. And I would suggest that people look through the documents and see what is already covered, and do we think it's adequately covered? And then that we can focus on the things that are not adequately covered in either the zero waste plan or the, which is still a draft document, or the feasibility study for the Reuse Innovation Center. Or if people read them over and come back and say, we have to start from scratch, then we do. But I feel like a lot of work has been done,
yes,
and it's not, we're not building upon that. We're starting from scratch and just throwing things out there.
Well, so I would disagree on that. I think like a lot of studies have been done, a lot of work has been done, but it's not being put into practice. And some of it is enforcement, and some of it is just education and getting, I mean, I can tell you as a town transfer station operator, the amount of things that are supposed to be recycled that don't get put into recycling by the residents. And unless you have enough staff to watch every minute of every thing and inspect every bag, there's no way to do it. So I think a part of our job is to, we may have things in place that are supposed to achieve something, but they're not achieving it. So that's sort of my opinion, is our part of our job is to try to figure out how to make some of these things achievable better. Andrew, you had your...
You have to look at your code 304, the Ulster County Code, as far as enforcement is concerned. It's lacking in its depth. I'll give you an example. Not an example, but I got a question.
We talked about enforcement. We're trying to focus on diversion.
But you got to have enforcement. You said an education enforcement.
I don't doubt that, but
we have educated for the last 30 years. I'm not arguing with you, man. I'm just saying that. Let me put it this way. Diversion, okay. Go through it literally. You're in the house, you throw something in the garbage, you put it out, the garbage man takes it, he dumps it on the tipping floor at the Resource Recovery Agency. What point should it be diverted? By law, it should be diverted from the household, or if they throw in a huge piece of scrap metal. That's not supposed to be in the MSW. So maybe the agency diverts it by pulling it out. Right. There's the situation with diversion and that aspect. Then you have the towns. That's two separate things. The towns being only 10%, you have much more control over diversion because you can, as you said, you can have people there informing them and so forth. But if somebody, if a employee and a resident brings in a bag of garbage and throws it in there, it's tied up and it's got all regulated stuff in it, you don't know about it either. It's on a tipping floor and you don't know about it either. So you have to, when you talk about diversion, you have to, in my opinion, have to, where does it start?
Exactly.
How does it go? Well, what do you want to do?
Andrew, right, yes. Now we were talking about the what. And what materials. Yeah, okay. We weren't talking about enforcement right now.
Well, it's only as part of the diversion aspect of it. What you're going to divert is according to law, and it's not being followed. That's enforcement.
But we want to go beyond the law. There are other things that we can divert that are not part of the law, yes. And that's what
right.
We're
so,
trying to get
so
to.
Okay. What would you like to add to the list?
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
Why don't we just take the items identified in the ZWIP? That is the list.
Yeah, very comprehensive.
That is the list. I mean, it's really quite a comprehensive list. I kind of feel like one of the things that might help us is literally having the ZWIP in print right here at the meeting rather than us trying to review. I mean, I have reviewed it, but it's different when I sit here in the meeting with a paper copy of looking at it. Yeah. and I know that's a lot of paper to waste. Like, it's almost like
we have 3 feet.
I don't want to print out a copy of the ZWIP for every person here, but it's a really comprehensive list there, and I think different stakeholders and different processes and different enforcement is going to apply to each of the items there.
Should we request for the next meeting that we have 3 copies that we can just sort of put between a group of people so we can look
I
at
think
it?
Even 1 copy with a piece of paper that has all of the waste product types okay. identified in this WIP.
That mm-hmm. can be arranged.
And that
you.
Would be in the table of contents.
Mm-hmm. It's like the body of the document goes deeper than the table almost in some
yeah.
instances.
I was just going to say, I think that's an excellent idea, and perhaps that's something that we can get our technology team to work on.
Yeah, we'll ask through our legislative assistant
well,
here
idea.
To get that for us for next meeting. So thank you.
I can I just add on to that? The reason I'm saying that is that, like, when you talk about waste oil, the ZWIP actually goes into the different types of waste oil, and the table of contents really just has waste oil as a topic, and then it dives in. So I think we kind of need to, like, identify the different breakdowns in the table of contents. Yeah.
So given that we're going to wait till we have that, should we skip over the what now for the moment, or do we want to continue?
Can I just go
please,
on again? And
please.
Amanda, I want your input on this, but I think what would be helpful is kind of if we could today talk about a framework of how we're going to look at each of those waste types or what we're going to do with that list when we sit down with the ZWIP in a more serious way. Like, it doesn't feel like we have the list right now, but
I can pretend to have the TV right now.
I have it too, but do you, like, if we were to talk about what our procedure is in working through each of those. Because I think
he's saying he can project it on the TV
good.
Right now.
That's
so
good. Okay, great.
We can do that right now.
Because to Andrew's point, the enforcement is going to be very different on different things in there. It's not all the same.
Maybe what we could do as we go through the list is, and some of this is covered in the document, but a kind of what's working, what's not. The first category, is it regulated? And if it's not, for example, one of the things we haven't mentioned that's a major part of the waste stream is C&D. And one of the recommendations in the RIC feasibility study is that we consider regulating C&D, at least starting with regulating demolition versus deconstruction. And I don't want to get into that detail right now, but it's an important part of the waste stream. So if we're looking at, is it regulated, what's working, what's not, and then out of that we can develop recommendations, whether we're going to recommend regulating C&D in Ulster County, for example. I'm just using that as one example.
Yes.
And it may be not next meeting, but the meeting after, following on that thought, could we potentially ask for the compliance officer from the agency to come and speak with us about the history of compliance of regulated recyclables and the challenges that you've raised to a certain degree, but I think it would be important for us to hear what has happened, mm-hmm. what hasn't, mm-hmm. and why. And I say that in the total spirit of working collaboratively mm-hmm. toward a positive end. I'm aware that there hasn't really been enforcement, but the aim of this conversation isn't to cast aspersions, it's to understand why there hasn't been enforcement. And I actually stand corrected, I just looked at the law, the fine for violation, which is putting a regulated recyclable into solid waste, is up to $1,000 per instance and up to 5 days in jail. So that, you know, that bottle in the garbage could be fined $1,000, an individual person, up to 5 days in jail. So again, I just think we have to start having the conversation with what's happening currently and why or why not, just so we can understand it.
Can you just clarify for me, because I don't know the answer, who would initiate that charge?
The agency is charged through the charter, particularly as it relates to recycling and regulated recyclables and the quality of the waste. What appears to me in 304, which Chair DeHorsey referenced, what the county could arguably be liable for is initiating action if outside waste is coming into the county. That's another subject. I don't know if the agency's not allowed to accept any outside waste. No outside waste is allowed to come into the county, and I don't know if that's happening. That's what 304 says.
And with special permission, we can bring outside waste in, from what I understand.
And we are bringing it.
I just read 304, so that's what I'm referencing, which says no outside waste.
The contract says that too, but somewhere it says that with special permission, and I know
as
that they have
more. It's not deposited. It can't be put in the ground here. But it can come into a transfer station because it's garbage in, garbage out.
Let's try to pull back to the diversion though. So yes.
I just want to say that you already said that the enforcement officer is focusing on getting the waste that belongs here, and never mind. I don't want to quote you because you'll argue with that I didn't quote you properly. My point is that bringing the enforcement officer here is a little bit like it's bypassing the executive director, and it's going to put the enforcement officer on the spot.
We're talking to the chair of the board.
I was going to suggest the operations manager because he is also in charge of compliance.
No.
He is the person who is, and he knows the whole operation. He can tell you how many loads of, asparagus, old asparagus come in and stuff because he's the operation guy. He's been there. I can see if you can come in the next meeting.
No.
You can list a series of questions, and we can have him. I can ask him to come in. If he can't make that meeting, then we'll provide another meeting. That's the most that I can tell you at this point.
Do you have a recycling coordinator?
Yeah.
Well, Angelina Brandt is the sustainability, which includes the recycling coordinator, and then her assistant. They do. That's it. But I think that the operations guy, because he's the one that's the one that sees it. The people, okay. Other people in the office only see, would see, you know, paperwork on stuff, but he'd be the person to bring in.
So
I just sort of capturing what everybody at the table is saying, I almost think it's too early, Andrew. I really appreciate you making that available, yeah. But, and I also think that we're going to come up with a bunch of questions, and what it may make sense for us to do is give those questions to the agency and let the agency determine who is the appropriate person. I think what former Chair Bartels is saying is, like, on the enforcement side, what we want to know is, what would you need to do this job to your best? You know, if you had your dream enforcement portfolio, what would you need to actually do it? Or what has been lacking to achieve it?
Well, I actually, for me, and I think I think it's a good suggestion to come up with a list of questions. I think next meeting is too early to have someone here.
Solid
but
waste.
It would be interesting to ask what you need, but the agency's empowered to do whatever it needs. The agency could get what it needs and could spend more money, and essentially, if there was no break even, bill the county back. The agency can do that right now. The question for me is, what have you been doing in terms of enforcement, and what, you know, what's worked and what hasn't? I don't know. I mean, I assume that there hasn't been extensive enforcement on the diversion and the regulated recyclables, which this is what we are talking about, diversion. But I don't know if I'm wrong. I mean, I hear all the time. I mean, I actually see in places, in public places all the time, institutional private haulers, I can just look in the waste bins and they're filled with
recyclables.
Regulated recyclables, and that those waste bins are going to the RRA floor. So I'm curious, like, are they being fined? Are they being stopped? Like, these are the kinds of questions that I want to understand. And then if not, we get to the why and where we get, because again, if we're talking about what we're going to be recommending related to diversion, which is ultimately where we're going with this, like understanding the current CIS status and then making the recommendation on what we think needs to change.
Andrew, you had your hand up there. So.
It was about diversion and enforcement. It's difficult, I'm going to tell you. When I came on board in January, we had an executive director, and I told him we needed another compliance officer. We hired somebody. Person quit after a few months, but it was very difficult. We have another compliance officer that just checks for weight to make sure that nothing's going out of the county. But the fact of the matter is, we got education and diversion. You go into the school, you educate the kids do everything right, the principal doesn't care, the janitor throws everything in water. Or B, everything is put out separate, the garbage company comes along and they mix it. Okay, then it gets to the tipping floor. Well, what do you do? Pull the bags apart? That's the problem with enforcement. That's the challenge of enforcement, as far as I can see.
So,
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I'm the longest serving board member, and we've had a long
Understood. Hang on one moment. Does the board want to bring the public into the conversation, or are you okay? I just want to make sure the board was open. Thank you.
Before Chairman Giorgi came on the board, we had a long discussion, and it's a very intimidating thing for an enforcement officer to try and control the recyclables of the commercial haulers. It's not an easy thing to do, and it's scary, and we don't pay enough money for people to go in and actually challenge. People feel threatened. This was the discussion that we heard from people who were in the field. That it's not, they don't feel safe necessarily, so they need to have some sort of authority that is beyond just the RRA enforcement officer. So there is that discussion. And one of the things that was brought up was perhaps hiring deputies, sheriff's deputies, you know, to do this work, because they have, you know, they have the moxie and the training and the backing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that we have neglected it, it's that it's a very difficult thing to do, and I'm glad that you're giving it such serious attention. Thank you for listening.
No, thank you very much.
When I had suggested to the previous executive director about a compliance officer, I told him check with the county. He checked with all the different agencies to see if he could find a police person, and they're all short of help. He said they just couldn't find it.
So, yeah. To build from that, though, I understand they're short of help in the existing personnel, but if the legislature appropriates funding for the sheriff's department or for some police agency for that specific purpose, if I can finish, okay, please, before... that would be something that a recommendation could be made to the legislature that enforcement is an issue in its present condition, and this is a recommendation of how to resolve that. So our goal is to find solutions to problems and make recommendations to solve them. So not to, as former Chair Bartel said, we're not trying to point fingers and cast blame. We're trying to figure out what's working, what's not working, and the things that aren't working, how can we do them better? So,
in 304, if you read it, it gives all the police powers in the state powers to write tickets for it. I was going to ask if code enforcement officers and, like, health inspectors would be included in that. That's not included in that. That would be a help. Any other kind of inspectors, you go to your Board of Health, you're inspecting all the trucks that go in Woodstock that they talked about, the food trucks, and you're inspecting, okay, you got garbage. Where's your recycle stuff? That's not being done. All those little, and my other opinion is that every single public place in the county has got to follow the law as it's written in 304. You don't even need diversion. You need to call up whoever's running that institution, whether it's a school, a town hall, whatever, and say, look, we came in and we saw that everything is all mixed. You're not sending it out. All the public places need to follow the law because they are public places. Now the private residences and the commercial buildings, that's going to be a different task. But that's the way I feel about it. And in my past experience, I've seen that if you get a superintendent of schools or a principal of schools, it goes great. If you get one that doesn't care, it doesn't happen. That's right. The problem with enforcement.
So the question is, how do we get compliance? Compliance and enforcement are two different things, in my opinion. So how do you get compliance? Is it through enforcement? Is it through, you know, that's part of our charge is to help try to solve that. And it's a very difficult problem to solve. So, yes.
Yeah, I mean, and I realize we're spending a lot of time, but this is the way this is going to go, I think, to some degree, to the comptroller's point. On regulated recyclables, you know, when we moved flow control as... and we passed it as a means of getting to the point of no net service fee, because that's what we really understood. We were, the burden of the net service fee was very challenging, and then Executive Hine, this was one suggestion, and it was promised as a part of a whole system. We discussed the idea of flow control of regulated recyclables, something that would have required a change at state legislation. At that time, no one could really explain why Ulster County was prohibited from flow control of regulated recyclables. We were alone. And I remember speaking to that attorney, Cahill, at the time, who had written the Cashel-Cahill report. And no one knew what, you know, what interests originally were at play that kept flow control of regulated recyclables. But I have to say, at that time, it was the supervisors primarily and the recycling coordinators who came out in heavy opposition to flow control of regulated recyclables. And that was because they were afraid of losing the revenue specifically and most importantly related to scrap metal, which is not a regulated recyclable. So it was a misunderstanding. But... and I mean this as no disrespect to the supervisor at the table.
I wasn't that supervisor at the time.
Supervisors, you know, have a very specific bottom line that's different than this whole system. And I bring this all up as historical background, but also to point out at that time, regulated recyclables had a very high value. Mm-hmm. Right? So they were all being removed from the waste stream because they were worth more money. Right now, you know, it's actually to these organizations, the haulers, to include it in the waste because it's cheaper to get rid of by just throwing the regulated recyclables into the waste. When you talk about a school, unless the school has toters that they themselves are bringing to the agency, they're not responsible for the separation in their school. The minute those toters are the hauler bears the responsibility for the separation, bears the responsibility for making sure the school separation, and bears the ultimate responsibility for what goes on the tipping room floor. And when those toters get dumped on the tipping room floor filled with plastic containers, the fine, if the agency were assessing fine on the tipping room floor, wouldn't go to the school, it would go to the hauler.
Mm.
And that's just an understanding that we don't think of. If I had a private hauler, which I don't, and I dumped all my recyclables into my garbage and the hauler picked them up, the hauler's on the hook, not me. Now, I'm not saying education isn't important. I'm saying that certainly it would be scary to send someone out to a lot of these places to like get in an argument, because people get very testy, especially more these days. But the final point of violation is when it goes on the floor and you see it's filled with a whole bunch of stuff, and then who's ever on the floor says, sorry, but there's a substantial fine for this, and here's your fine. See you tomorrow. And if he comes again,
better.
Here's another fine, here's another fine. But that only solves regulated recyclables, which is a very finite list. And I think we all know what they are. Basically, Legislator Green said earlier, it's like cans and bottles and jugs, plastic jugs and paper.
Yeah, I just want to say, when we first started, when people were not recycling, the law was passed, it didn't take very much enforcement to get people to participate. And because then they knew that the law was going to be enforced. And the way it happened at curbside for the residents is the hauler would take it and leave a note. And then after a couple times of doing that, they wouldn't collect the material because they were going to get fined. So I do think, given the time, we may need to get back to some of those other questions. But in terms of enforcement, it can be done, and it can be done. There's a system in place. It just hasn't been implemented for many years, and I think we've identified that enforcement is a problem. I'm not sure how we're going to handle that. I'm a little nervous about calling one or two people from the agency in. I do think we should have a conversation, but maybe some of us should ask to go there and not put them on the spot, because I think the current enforcement officer is doing what they were told to do, which is to be sure that garbage that is revenue for the agency doesn't leave the county. But maybe we could wrap this up and focus on some other concerns.
So where in the document should we be looking for the topics? Because I
scroll down.
Scroll down. Not as familiar
yeah.
with the
scroll
document.
Down.
Document is
keep going.
So.
Keep going. Not there because it's more detail. Keep going.
Is this what you're...
Yep. So it starts with municipal solid waste, then it gets into recyclables, and it breaks down. Keep going.
Right
there are some types, but it gets even more detailed. I mean, this is a frustration I have with the report. Now you're starting to get into it.
Okay. So, the board will excuse my back. I'm going to just move over to here so I can see it better.
Yeah.
And let's go through the report and identify from that report where we need to go. And
Manna, do you feel
you
like
are
it's
much
best?
More familiar.
Can I just ask you?
Yeah.
Do you feel like it's better to start with the sort of the top level, just scrap metal, or does it make sense to get into the different types?
I I can't see it from here.
Okay, all right.
I think right now what's important is for people to understand what is in the report, and then if that can be excerpted as a list and put into a working document that's an outline, and we should talk about where that's going to reside and how we're going to do that, because I don't want to make a problem. I don't want to make any more problems than I've already made. But let's be sure people are aware of what is already in here, so we're not starting from scratch. Yeah. And if somebody is close enough to read it.
So, under scrap metal.
A little bit.
There you go. Yeah.
So, under scrap metal, the first item is ferrous light iron.
So, Chair, we want to just go with the top level for each of these items.
Okay.
Yeah, so scrap
metal. Scrap metal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep scrolling, sir.
So we're just going to go through, we're going to discuss each one?
I think we want to put together a list. I don't know. What do you want to see, Legislator Green, in terms of the discussion on each of these topics, besides getting the list together?
It seems to me that understanding what's already in here is first, and then, and also the description, and if there's things that we need, that we collectively need to discuss on each one, then we can, but at least there's an organized list.
Right. Yep. So, Chair, one of the things that we said earlier in the conversation between Tracy and Manna was the question of whether it's regulated, and I think that should apply to any regulation that we have.
Yep.
What's working, what's not,
mm-hmm.
and then who should have responsibility for diversion.
Okay, so let's start then with scrap metal and ask that question. You know, what's working?
Not regulated.
So, not regulated.
It is regulated in.
It's not an MSW. It's not considered an MSW by the.
Yeah.
By
yeah.
The
it's not MSW, and it's not regulated in the county law, but it is regulated by DEC. Wait, I may be mixing up C and D.
That's C and D.
That's
not scrap metal.
Yeah,
scrap metal is singled out and. And it, you know,
so scrap metal is not regulated at all, as far as we know.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, in the terms of the what's working, what's not, just speaking from the town's perspective, I believe it is working. The residents who use the town transfer stations are pretty good about separating out, because we have a separate bin. In my town, we have a hauler. When it fills, we call him. He takes it away. He tracks the receipts and once a year sends us a check, and we bring in approximately $10,000 a year in revenue for the scrap metal.
Nice little chunk of change.
It seems to work. Yes, Chair Bartow.
Yeah, and I'm gonna reflect that it only works because you're making money. If you weren't making money and the numbers bottomed out, then you and the towns would not know what to do with it, and it would fall back on the agency. And this is the problem with thinking of things from like a myopic perspective. I think if we're gonna focus on a whole system, it has to be the whole system, and it has to also incorporate the idea that these markets change, and we can't have it work just because it's making money, but then when it doesn't, which is what happened with recycling. That's what happened with recyclables. That's the first thing I would say. The second thing that I just want to point out that I learned in a very unfortunate way this summer and have not gotten any resolve on is that it came to my attention that at multiple transfer stations, including my own, they were accepting in scrap metal air conditioners that were going to and refrigerators, whatever, because they're metal, that were going to these metal yards with the understanding that the metal yards were responsibly taking the Freon out. I say I found this out because I was doing a lot of metal recycling through a move, and was told by someone who brought, I said, well, when you bring this up to the metal, this sounds like a tangent, but I do think it's important to note right now. When you bring it up to the metal yard, ask them about air conditioners, how much they charge. And he came back and said they take air conditioners and they're free. And I said, what do you mean they're free? He said, as long as there's no Freon in them. And I said, well, what am I supposed to do with the Freon? And he said, they said cut the lines. So I called Gardner and said, you're charging for air conditioners.
Tracy, you've identified a problem, yeah. But I don't.
We don't have to go into a lot of
But see, I can counter with how we do it in my town is we contract with a company that comes in and removes the Freon from our refrigerators, air conditioners, dehumidifiers. We pay that bill. We then take the unit when it's been drained, we put it into our scrap metal, and it's done as scrap metal. Perhaps the answer is that as part of the solution is that the town transfer stations are required to be, they're the ones who are responsible, not the vendors that they're sending them to, because this is what the system I inherited in my town, it's how we've always done it. Maybe other towns aren't doing it. I assumed that it was the law, and that's why we're doing it that way. Apparently,
that's a good point.
Maybe it's not every town has a contract. Maybe there's one contract for all the transfer stations. So, and it's interesting because we were saying this is working, and now what we're finding out is no, actually, part of it's not working.
Well, there's one company that I know of that does it. They're based out of Foxborough, Massachusetts. Yeah, but they have a local vendor who comes once every month. They come when they're in the area. Sometimes they come once a month. Sometimes they come once every 3 months. We collect them. So, but this is all part of the metal discussion.
So we've identified a problem, and I apologize for cutting you off, and I think it's an important problem
to identify.
No, and
I think it's important to get an answer,
but
too.
If we're going to be writing a report, how does, and I don't want to answer this now, I just want to bookmark it. How does this, the problems and the issues that we're identifying get into the report? And I just want to...
I think I can answer that, though, right now, because we have this section that is on diversion and the scrap metal. You know, we go through each topic and we... The strengths, what Amanda was saying, the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and...
opportunity.
Yes. Yeah.
So
that is how we... just everybody hang on 1 second if I can finish. That's how we answer it. In the report, we identify these very specific problems and offer solutions, ideas in the report of how to resolve the problems. It's kind of a... These are the issues... In our research, we've identified not all transfer stations are, I'm being very specific now, but not all transfer stations are handling Freon materials in the same manner. Solution, this is the answer. Yes, sir.
The Freon is regulated by the ZEC and the EPA. If a scrapyard is taking something and is cutting it, they had that problem in Platicul 20, 30 years ago. The guy was cutting and charging the money. That's a violation of the law. You're supposed to bring it, and then they mark it. They mark them, and then the scrapyard's not supposed to accept them unless it's that way. So that's just a blatant commercial violation of the law, basically. Right. Let me just finish. Now, if you have somebody that takes a dehumidifier or a small air conditioner and throws it in their garbage, and they come along and they pick it up and it dumps on our tipping floor, from what I understand, the people that are working there, and when they see it, like with tires, they pull it out, and then they have to set it over and have it decommissioned.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the situation. With it's just a matter of commercial people violating the law, basically.
Right. And from the town's perspective, when I get my monthly bill, there's occasionally a tire in the bill that you guys found in the waste stream that we missed. You pull it out. You charge us the fee that you would have charged drop it off, and we pay that fee, and it's handled properly. You know, we're never going to have a 100% perfect solution, but it's minimal. It's one a month. It's one every 3 months. It's whatever. So, yes.
Question for the table. In terms of the commercial and institutional producers of scrap metal, is that being handled appropriately? It's not going through the transfer stations. Do people feel like that's getting taken care of?
Could you restate that?
Are institutional and commercial waste generators of scrap metal, is their scrap metal being handled appropriately?
I think they know to either take it to a scrap metal dealer or to the agency.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the problem, as Amanda just said. It's market forces. It's being handled now because there's a market. And when you talk about a whole system, you have to anticipate when there's not a market, which is why the system bears the benefit of a high market time. But then when there's a low market and when it bottoms out, the system has to bear that. I mean, this is about a public good. Yeah. You know, if we keep allowing it to all be sort of compartmentalized because there's money to be had, then when the bottom drops out, just like recycling, you end up with a whole bunch of stuff in the garbage.
Except I just want to say, you know, from the town's perspective, any revenue we get, whether it's $1,000, like this year, I just got my check for last year. It was only $6,000. Last year I got $10,000. It's still $6,000 I didn't have. We will continue to do it. We as the town don't really care. We understand the market goes up and down, up and down, up and down. We're not doing it as specifically as a revenue stream. The revenue is secondary. It helps operate our transfer station, and we're able to charge our residents less because it's a revenue that we're generating. So from the town's perspective, the revenue is not as urgent as now, the question I have is, how do the private haulers handle, you know, we asked about institutions, but how do the private haulers, how are they handling scrap metal?
But with all due respect, if you're saying it's 10,000 last year, it's 6,000 this year, what if next year you had to pay more than your MSW?
We would still do it. We wouldn't stop doing it because we had to.
It would just be an MSW. That's what I'm saying. It would, you know what I mean? Just that's what's happening with recycling. If you had to pay to get rid of it twice what MSW cost, you would just, it's not regulated. It would just be MSW.
But I disagree. We would still continue the scrap metal program. We would just have to charge more for other fees. Right now we take it for free because we make money. We may have to start charging for it. So my point is, we would still be separating it. We're not going to stop separating it. I don't, and I'm speaking for my town because I can only speak for my town right now.
With you there.
Yeah. Well, no, it's been happening long before I was there. Yes.
You know, I feel like we're all have a little corner of this Goldberg machine of waste disposal and the planning and the regulatory and the actual operations and enforcement of this. And I think, like, as we go through this and we're kind of diving into these, like, opportunities and weaknesses and threats in each one of these, but there are certain things here that are, like, cross-cutting. So outside forces and market forces, like, I think are going to be a cross-cutting kind of threat, because we can come up with these like titrated suggestions that are very specific to the current economic conditions. So I think we just, I'm bookmarking this, and so I'm sharing it all with you as a, you know, when you're thinking about how we pull this together, this is a cross-cutting thing that we're gonna have to look at, like certain places where, how do you look at a contract or make suggestions about contracts with the municipalities that take that kind of fluctuation or variability into account?
Yeah. I mean, I think the answer to Tracy's point is that perhaps if scrap metal became part of flow control, but allowed the municipalities to, you know, if it became part of flow control, or maybe flow control is the word, but if it became a requirement that it be separated out, leaving the revenue where it is now, not still becoming the, you know, but it goes back to the question of that I was asking earlier is how do the haulers, how are they separating? And I don't know the answer. Are they, or, and if they are, how are they doing it?
What if you have something mixed? It's a toy, big plastic toy, half metal, half plastic.
Yeah.
They bust it up and they throw it in. They don't separate, it's not separated. So right. When you talk scrap metal, you're talking really basically just scrap metal, copper and so forth, you can throw into that bin.
Right.
My suggestion, thinking about it quickly, and having grown up in New Jersey in a much more dense area, 30 years ago, this or whatever, this system was set up. What about the, I don't know how much the, and that was set up the way it was with the towns, I believe, because the commercial haulers just didn't cover the whole area. They just, everybody had a dump, you went mm-hmm. to the dump. But now, maybe it's possible we eliminate all town transfer stations and have every town just contract with a private hauler. That way they can do both pickups if they want. They have much more regulation because they're dealing yeah. with the direct person. Yeah. And this is fair to the people who, in a town situation, if I'm somebody that can't drive, well, I got to use a hauler. It's not fair even to me, you know, in right. that situation. That's why I say that if there's enough coverage in the county now with commercial haulers that they have routes all over the place, maybe it's a consideration that the towns eliminate their transfer stations and just go, and that's much better for enforcement because you have municipal employees. I've seen in New Jersey, they open it up, it's no good, they put a sticker on it, bang, you're involved with the municipality.
Well, if I could just add yeah. to that 1 second.
Yeah.
So I see in the town transfer stations, and this may be a surprise to people, I have people who have a hauler that they do their garbage right. with, but they bring their recycling, their scrap metal. Yes. We make them buy a permit because they use our system, yeah. but all they bring to the transfer stations is their recyclables yeah. and their scrap metal and their deposit. We have a deal, we used to be with the Girl Scouts, now it's another group that collects deposit bottles, and they separate them out in our system. If they see somebody throw one in, they pull it out. So, but all these are ways that it does work. So let me just get to Tracy first, because
the idea of eliminating the transfer station you're describing, I used to be that customer, like have the thing in at our family business. I do my waste, but do all the recycling in the town. You know, but now I'm someone who has like one kitchen bag every 2-3 weeks, so it doesn't make sense for me to have. So I go in and it's pay as you throw. And in many ways, I'm what everyone wants to get to and more, like diminished till it's just like the, you know, the tiny plastic bag. So if there weren't transfer stations, and if everything were individual haulers, I think we'd be getting away from that, the decentralization.
Right.
Not to mention that the town transfer stations are also opportunities. Like as we talk about diversion, and as we're going to talk about the Reuse Innovation Center, how we get reuse and innovation all across the county is through the transfer stations, theoretically. I mean, we're not there yet, but that's one of the ways we're going to talk about how to get into every community, how to get into the far reaches of Denning. So they're a real value. And then on top of it, I think of town transfer stations as someone who's campaigned over years, not at a transfer station, but town transfer stations are a lot like town post office.
It's communal.
They're a community. You know, you see the community, even as a citizen. You worked at one for years and years, so you really saw it. But I would hate to see them go and have that decentralization and the privatization, which is something we have to talk about. But to me, it's counter to public.
Yeah.
Counter to public
bin. I'm chuckling because I'm that person. I have one bag every month, but I bring more recycling.
Yeah.
So you had a point you wanted to make.
I apologize in advance if this sort of just diverts where we're going, but I have kind of a question on, as I also apologize for missing the last meeting. When this committee was set up originally, the purpose was essentially to evaluate the agency and its operations and its ability to handle the issues that come before us. It grew out of some conversations in the Environment Committee, and that's why it was proposed, and I was involved in that. As we talk about things like scrap metal or refrigerators or other things, is the bottom line in each of these categories, in each of these chapters or sub-chapters, at the bottom line, is it going to be, and is the agency well set up to handle this, whether it's scrap metal or something else, or are we now doing something else and making sort of generalized recommendations and generalized plans for the county writ large as to how we handle these? I started asking that question to myself as I started hearing the discussion at the beginning, and I kind of held off because there was a lot of momentum and a lot of concerns. But some of the things that
I think the answer is both. I think the answer is both. We're attempting to do both. We're attempting to review the agency and how it's operating in the current system, but to make recommendations for changes. And you know, one of the things that has been brought up is the question of, should there even be an agency?
Right.
That's part of our discussion. And so, if you just talk about this one little subset of the overall issue, which is waste in the county, you're not really, our feeling is, and I'm apologize if I'm speaking for everybody, and please correct me if you disagree, but is that if you just focus on that one little element, you're not focusing on what leads to get to that little element. Well, so
I would just make two comments then. One is, my recommendation would be to keep our eye on the ball with as we get into all the issues with solid waste, the MSW, that at the bottom line, we do want to get to that agency evaluation part of it. And the second is just to be aware that we've now gone from a relatively narrower, as you just described it, a relatively narrow focus of, is the agency up to this task or that task, or how do we have to reform it, to how do we plan for solid waste throughout Ulster County? And that's just a bigger deal. And,
agreed.
In terms of ours.
Agreed.
6 months, twice a month.
But I think it's how that relates to the agency. And I think they go back and forth to each other.
I just want to point that out and maybe make sure that's refocused. Yeah.
So.
I think we ought to start making a list of questions for haulers, because that's come up a few times. And at some point, I think we ought to reach out to the haulers. The agency has a list of the haulers, and have a meeting with the haulers and be prepared. So every time somebody asks a question and we all collectively don't know the answer and can't look up the there's no law covering it, then, and even if there is a law, is it working? I think keeping a list of questions for the haulers would be helpful. And I want to say, when it comes to municipal transfer stations, I think that it's one of the greatest assets we have in this county. And, you know, the whole people who use them feel like it's community. You see your neighbor or you see somebody you haven't seen in a while. And in terms of maximizing waste diversion, that's where that's the first line of defense. So,
come on in.
Sorry.
The haulers and the municipal transfer stations. Okay, those are the two.
So just to make sure I'm writing them down. So the one I just added is, how do they address scrap metal? The other one I have is just out of the initial conversation, is enforcement by the haulers of recycling laws.
But also,
should there be others on that list that we've already identified?
Well,
because I like your idea.
I heard a couple other questions for haulers that we couldn't answer, and they'll come up again. The one other thing, since we're talking about scrap metal, if you look at scrap metal versus construction and demolition debris, scrap metal has a value and probably always will, even if it's a very low value.
Right.
But if we're looking at diversion, there's so many more problems with C&D that because it doesn't have value, it's regulated, but it's a huge part of the waste stream. And a low-hanging fruit, in my opinion, for maximizing diversion. So I just want to
mention
that.
My guess is C&D will be on that list somewhere.
Yeah.
We just haven't gotten to it yet. So.
But just as we're thinking about the cost issue, you can see the difference if you just think about C&D versus scrap metal.
I just want to bring up, we were trying to hold it to an hour and a half, so we're at 10:35 now. Do we want, and I feel like this discussion has focused, and thank you all for getting it there. Do we want to continue? I want to be cognizant of people's time. So I had put on the agenda to set the February meetings. We could maybe look at your calendars, and next meeting, we'll look for the next month. So, what's people's feelings? Yes.
Before we go to the calendar issue, I would just like to say what I would like to see for the next meeting, and I'm happy to prepare it myself if that's helpful, is the list of every item here with a few columns that speak to whether it's regulated, and then we can talk about what's working and what's not and who should have responsibility, sort of like a grid so that we can work through all those items quickly, and I think it'll bring up these strengths
and
opportunities.
I know we were putting things in the Google Drive, but this particular document, can you email it to all the members?
I'm happy to put this.
If you would like to volunteer,
I
will
take
you up. I
see a spreadsheet, and I will create one.
And then
I'll send it to Michael.
So in terms of what we were talking about earlier, in terms of how to share documents, I just think we should go through our legislative staff with everything we share, rather than individual comments to all the members, and then the staff will disperse it to all the members. And if we can just sort of agree to work through the system that way.
Do we have a shared drive?
Yes.
Yeah. Some of us, unfortunately, though, who don't have I still am having issues getting to the shared drive.
Mine was there, and it's gone again. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because we don't have county email addresses, it's been a big challenge. So for the moment, I've been asking that things just be emailed to me. I know they're big files, but...
Maybe we could ask legislative technical support to see about... Even just setting up like a dupe Outlook account that's not a county account to see if it can access. And if so, then we could each get Outlook accounts.
The problem for me is my town email, my town server, the way it's set up is it won't connect. And, you know, I can do it through my personal, but I don't really want to do it through my personal. So,
Didn't we have a spreadsheet? I thought Europa had an Excel spreadsheet.
I'll reach out to her.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
To start with,
and we're going
to
find out. We're going to find out where my other board members can listen to this, like they have, like the legislature, the committees.
Mm-hmm.
Some way it's going to be online. You'll give me that information.
Yeah, as soon as we locate where it will be located.
Right. Because I got a million questions, and I tell them listen to it. And reading the minutes is not as descriptive as listening to it, because I read the minutes, and and does anybody have any problem with me, any information that I get, just forwarding to the other board?
No, not at all.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah, no, in my opinion, each of us is here because of it. It was set up for us to disperse information to our individual groups. I plan to bring the dialogue back to the local supervisors and bring feedback back from them. The only issue I had is sort of creating a system where anybody can comment anywhere, it just gets out of control.
I just want to make two more comments. A, we passed the landfill search. Should be done within, I was told, 8 weeks. We'll have a good idea what the landfill siting is in 8 weeks from Cornerstone. The second one was, and I just forgot it. Executive director. We're down to the finally, pretty soon, the next few weeks, we hope to be interviewing anywhere between 3 and 6 people. They went through 30, 35 people already. I can't give you any more information than that, but it's possible that by our next board meeting, we could have an executive director.
Meaning your next board meeting, not our board. I'm sorry,
which
just clarify.
Which I think is the 25th.
Yeah.
I'm not promising that, but that's what I was told. But definitely the landfill search site search should be done within, I was told, 6 to 8 weeks. I would say 8 weeks is what I was told, just so you all know that. And that information, as soon as I have it, will be forthcoming. And we can go from there, because that's going to influence a lot of what possibly what we might be discussing, is yeah. whether or not there is a place to have a landfill, and if there isn't, you know, so forth and so on. But
okay.
I just wanted to make that announcement.
Thank you. That. So let's hold off on setting our February meetings till next meeting, but if everybody can kind of look in your calendars to figure out dates. So just a reminder, our next meeting is Thursday the 19th at 1. Yes.
I just would like to get
Thursday.
Clear.
Thursday the 18th.
Another yeah.
Thursday the 18th, excuse me.
Another sorry. Level of clarity, because I made a mistake, and I also put a lot of time into that mistake of taking the outline mm-hmm. that Amanda had suggested and you enhanced, and I started to create a document to plug things into, and then you also said you were going to, but I'm just wondering, is there a way that we can all agree upon that we start putting some of the key points that were raised into a document that is or is not a shared document? If we knew that there was staff time, we could make those suggestions to the staff and have the staff do it. But we're moving along. So that's one question. The other thing I just want to put on the table is I suggested the idea of meeting with the haulers. One of the questions is how the haulers handle scrap metal. That was, I think, a question that mm-hmm. I heard. Could one person be responsible for keeping track of the questions for the haulers?
I'm doing exactly that.
You're doing
I've
that.
Started,
okay.
I've All started right. that, and this is kind of what I've been trying to do every meeting, is taking the notes of our meetings and updating. You know, what I will do is take what we just came up with today and update these pages that I shared. I'm fine with what former Chair Bartel said, is that we don't work from the matrix anymore. That was like a starting point. We now work from this. That's fine. I will always date the as of. But what I ask is that anything we create, that everything be shared through our legislative staff, which at the moment is Jay, unless that changes, and then that they disperse it to the board members, and that we, you know, do it all through the official Google Drive or whatever is the repository,
the OneDrive,
right. whatever the drive is. So, yes.
We could actually have a shared Word document on the OneDrive,
yeah.
and we
yeah.
can take the work that Mana already did right. and put it into a Word document for the OneDrive.
Yeah.
We just have to make sure everybody has good access to that OneDrive at some point.
Right.
So,
and that's
yes.
the one issue right now. Some of us
yeah.
don't, and so that's why. And my apologies, and man, I should have told you guys that I was sort of doing you when you sent that out. I literally had just finished about 6 hours of doing the exact same thing, and I was like, ugh. So, and my apologies. It was very, and we were ironically very similar, because we were just compiling the same information.
Right.
So I don't disagree in how it was being done. It was just that being shared with giving access to people who aren't involved in this committee, it's not a matter of that we are trying to not be transparent. We absolutely want to be transparent. But giving other people access to make edits to a document that is eventually going to be ours is a problem, I think.
So if you, Mike, if you send me what you worked on, I'll combine it with Mana's. I'll put it on a
Well,
Word.
Essentially what I've worked on is this is a sort of a different version of it, but
okay.
So.
Because we can create a Word document
yeah. yep.
and have Michael put it on the OneDrive, and then everybody will have access
yeah.
to it.
Yeah.
yeah.
And in this case, everybody is the committee
the
will
committee.
Have
right.
access, and
Absolutely.
The other people won't.
Well, the other people can bring through each of us as, I mean, I sort
we
of feel we are
back,
the representative.
Yeah.
If you want to send it to people to offer comments, absolutely, that's
and,
great.
And they would offer comments to me or to you.
Right, and then
and
you
then
would bring them
would
in
bring
or
them
you
in.
Would...
Yeah.
And the only thing I ask is that if it's editable, that it be just
notes, not that it's actually being edited, because then if one person edits and then somebody else disagrees, it's, that there's just a column where each of us respectively makes our notes, so then when we go to write our document, we have all those notes and we can discuss all that. Does that seem like the way to do this? And it, if that works with staff as well. So, yes.
Yes, on that. But also, you know, just going back to, I think, it's a complicated system. I'd like to start trying to do some kind of visual systems mapping, because I think that helps the discussion here. But
can
also,
I just ask you, I don't understand what you're saying by visual
like
systems
kinda
mapping.
Kind of flow charty diagrams. I'm pretty visual, so I'm seeing, you know, we have our kind of agency stakeholders mainly, but, you know, here we're talking about kind of like the contractual kind of interrelationships, the regulatory interrelationships, the operational interrelationships, and I think that, you know, that could be, it's often a barrier to, like, everybody here has been working in this stuff for quite a while, because it takes that level of exposure to it to mm-hmm. kind of understand the system. It's definitely a barrier when speaking with other people to kind of even some of the main points of the nuances of the interrelationships in that system. So I'm just thinking about, like, it's like visual process mapping, but I can take a swing at it, share it with you all, and it might be useful for eventual for kind of reports, just as a place where...
That's fine.
You know, I've always been of the mind that some people do spreadsheets, some people do text, some people do kind of like visual flow diagrams, and it's often really nice to put all of those things in a document so that it's easily accessible.
Absolutely. I mean, any ideas people have, any you know, it just sort of, it should all be in one place, and it should be shared through the staff as our representative. So, and thank you all for working toward that direction. So, because we should only be sort of emailing, like, I'll just use, for example, a quick example is a Comptroller Gallagher sent me an email about some ideas, and I asked the staff to share it to all of us, so everybody saw what I saw, and it's just that way we all know the source of it, we all know why it's being done and who's asking for it, and I think it's just the right way to go about it. So there's another meeting here at 11, so I'm going to ask that, unless anybody has anything else they want to bring up today, if not, we'll...
If you want me to bring anybody in from the agency...
Not at the next meeting.
Just give me enough
time. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we would send an official... We would do it... Okay. Send an official request properly. And I agree at some point it may be helpful, but I think we need to compile our questions before we just bring somebody in. So. Okay?
I agree with that.
So I'd ask for then a motion to adjourn.
I'll move that.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. I apologize. It was a little struggle, but I think once we got going well. So, and if